Blog Talk Radio.
Talking political news, cultural topics, and a little witchy stuff, too. This is Conservative Cauldron Radio with your host, Becky Noble. And now, here's your conservative Wiccan, Becky Noble.
Good Friday morning, everyone. Thank you for hanging out with me today, TGIF. You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Again, thanks, everybody, for chilling with me, TGIF. It's a little rainy around here. Well, it was, but it's kind of looking up. It's kind of clearing up. Sun's coming out, and might be a nice day. Hope it's a nice day wherever you are. And I am, again, very glad that you guys can hang out with me today. We, of course, have a ton, as usual, of stuff to talk about. No shortage when you are deep in the throes of a presidential election. And apparently now that it's after Labor Day, it's officially, you can officially say things like deep in the throes of the election or something. But you can call in here. You can call in here at 347-857-2620, 347-857-2620. And, of course, the chat room is always open for your convenience if you want to go that route. And I want to give a big shout-out to everybody listening on Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Check it out, please. By all means, check it out. There are so many, just the group of awesomely talented people that we have assembled at Red Nation Rising Radio Network is amazing, and you've got two live 24/7 streams of fantastic conservative talk radio, and everybody's different. There's no cookie cutter going on at Red Nation Rising. It's everybody's different. Everybody comes from a different background, but we all have the same beliefs, and we all have the same sense of urgency about the state of this nation, we're all a bunch of big political geeks that love to talk politics. So by all means, Red Nation Rising Radio Network, rednationrising.us. Check it out. Anyway, like I said, we've got a ton of stuff to get to here today on this pre-9/11 edition of Conservative Cauldron Radio. And we will talk, we'll talk a little 9/11 here later on in the program. But like I said, we've got a lot of stuff. I've got a big stack of stuff today. So anyway, we can get started on it. You know, if you are someone in the mainstream media, you know what? I'm betting even Fox does it too. I mean, it's I think they're all guilty of it. I think everybody does it. If you are someone in the mainstream media, well, not, yeah, because they're the They're an arm of the Clinton campaign. But if you are the Obama administration, if you are the Hillary Clinton campaign, there are stories that you know that are going to come out, but you don't want people to pay a lot of attention to it. When is the best time to do it, you think? You know, maybe towards the end of the day, after everybody's had everybody's show has aired, everybody has had their chance to have press conferences, news conferences, what have you. So definitely at the end of a news day. What, even with that though, sometimes you have a problem because now we have a 24-hour news cycle. But certainly on a Friday afternoon, everybody's thinking about getting the hell out of Dodge and heading to the weekend. They're not thinking about work. They're thinking about their upcoming weekend. And so it's really, if you are in government or the media, mainstream media, that's the best time to dump stuff. And there was a gift given to the Clinton campaign last Friday, the day before a 3-day Labor Day weekend. And there was a big bunch of documents that were, and these were FBI records pertaining to what else Hillary Clinton and her emails and her, how many devices that she used while she was Secretary of State at the State Department, it's the gift that keeps on giving. It's just, it's not going away. And the more she lies about it, the more it's not going away. And for somebody who's supposed to be the smartest woman in the room, the smartest woman in the world, why can't she figure that out? That the more she lies, the more she tries to cover it up, the more it's not going away. But last Friday afternoon, again, a gift given to the Clinton campaign, there was a document dump of a bunch of FBI records that, again, are pertaining to the Clinton email investigation scandal. Pick a word. And it says here, now, everybody remember when Hillary Clinton insisted that, and the only reason that she said, yeah, I really probably should have used more than one device, or I really should have done this or that, it's not really because she's sorry that she actually did that she engaged in that particular action. She's sorry she got caught, is what it is. So remember, everybody remember when she went on and on about how she was only using, this whole thing happened because she only wanted to use one device, because she wanted to have convenience. She didn't want to have one device for personal things, one device for work-related things, and she just wanted everything all together. So she only used one device. Well, come to find out, she lied about that too. Because in this document dump that happened last Friday, it says here that according to the FBI, that Hillary Clinton used at least eight, that means this is on the lower end of the spectrum, it's the lower end of the scale, 8 different mobile devices to send private email during her tenure as Secretary of State, none of which were recovered by the FBI as part of its investigation into her communications practices as Secretary of State. We have since come to find out that the number is not 8, that it's more like 13. There are cell phones, there are Blackberries, there are laptops, there, which incidentally, one very crucial one is missing. Here's the FBI. Oops, we don't know. We can't find it. Cell phones, Blackberries, laptops, iPads, you name it. She had confidential national security information scattered about on all of these different devices. So that's a problem in and of itself, I think. But what happened to, well, I only wanted to carry one device for convenience so I could have everything all one, didn't have to jumble a bunch of devices around. The FBI, in a heavily redacted summary of its probe released on Friday, this would be last Friday, said Clinton flouted security standards for official communications by relying on private email for government business. In addition to the 8 devices she used as Secretary of State, the FBI said they sought at least 5 additional, there's your 13, do the math, people, 5 additional mobile devices as part of its inquiry. Clinton's lawyers said they couldn't provide any of the mobile devices she used, and here's the best part. One person interviewed by the FBI said he recalled 2 instances in which Clinton's devices were destroyed by, quote, breaking them in half or hitting them with a hammer, unquote. Now, in addition, we already know that whoever part of Hillary Clinton's inner circle who was charged with destroying these devices, they used something called BleachBit, which I am not a computer expert, nor do I play one on TV, but to my knowledge, BleachBit is a program that you have to go and purchase that will give you it basically what it does is it wipes everything that you don't want anyone and their mother to see off of your hard drive. I believe that Congressman Trey Gowdy put it best when he said, "You use BleachBit, you use this program when you don't even want God to see your emails." So we already have them using this program to delete things and get them off hard drives. But now we have actual destruction of the devices themselves. People are smashing them with hammers and breaking them in half. And what the question that I will pose, and I think a lot of other people would pose, is what is on these devices that is so completely and totally incriminating that, again, you don't even want God to see them? What is on those devices? Well, you know, the ones that are in a million pieces because they were busted up by hammers, we'll never know unless somebody comes clean and actually says so. But, you know, then again, there's the problem of people who are associated with the Clintons who come out and say things. They when they decide that they want to be whistleblowers, well, it's when people start finding bodies and things of that nature. But I digress. The inability to investigate the missing devices means investigators, quote, could not make a determination as to whether, unquote, they were hacked, the FBI said. In addition, a personal laptop used to archive Clinton's emails when she was Secretary of State went missing after being put in the mail. While the emails were deleted before the computer was sent, the hard drive wasn't wiped permanently clean. Of course, the Clinton spokesman Brian Fallon said the campaign was pleased that the FBI released the summary. Brian Fallon's quote here is, while her use of a single email account was clearly a mistake and she has taken responsibility for it, these materials make clear why the Justice Department believed there was no basis to move forward with this case. Brian Fallon said that in an email. But the report also said, and I'm even going to go to a different report that I have here because it gets better. You think this is good, people? Oh, no. Oh, let me tell you, kids, it gets way better. It gets way better than this. This is a report I have here from CNBC, and it is, well, it talks about some of the things that that went on during Hillary Clinton's interview with the FBI, which, again, happened on a holiday weekend. You will recall that Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI all over the 4th of July weekend. Why would that be? So that nobody would pay attention to it. Well, here's why they didn't want people to pay attention to it. This report here is written by Jake Novak. He is over at CNBC, and it is titled "The Five Most Outrageous Things Hillary Clinton Said in Her FBI Interview." Number one, she cited her 2012 concussion as the reason that she cannot remember details of briefings during her, quote, transition out of office. Well, here's the thing. She went on to say, I don't recall about things about 39 or 40 times, I believe, was what someone counted. And if she was not at the time that this concussion happened, it goes on to say in this report that she had conducted official State Department business while suffering from a concussion that may have impaired her memory. Is that that's the reason why she can't recall any of these things? The report suggested that she was only working a few hours a day at one point based on doctor's orders. But if it was so bad that she couldn't remember important security briefings, which, again, she also claims that she doesn't either A, remember the briefings themselves, or she doesn't recall what exactly was said during the briefings. So why wasn't she on some kind of medical leave for this? If it was that bad, if she was to the point where she couldn't remember things like that, things that were pertinent to her job, such as security briefings, why was she even working? Why was she not put on medical leave per a doctor's orders? You know, this really, it brings up more questions than it answers. The second one here is that she said she never even thought about whether emails she exchanged on a future U.S. drone attack should be classified. You know, again, if she is somehow impaired, mentally impaired because of this concussion, to the point where she was, by a doctor's orders, only allowed to work a few days, only a few hours during the day, you know, why was she even there, first of all, if she was that impaired? And this is the best one. This is the best one for me, and I think everybody's heard this one. And it's just – it renders even the most speechified of us speechless. But she said she thought the C before a paragraph indicated alphabetical order. The C actually stands for classified. I think even the most, what's the word I'm looking for? pick an adjective. Even the most unfamiliar of us with documents, classified or otherwise, and sensitive material, handling sensitive material. You know, does she really? Here's a woman who wants to be the president of the United States, the commander in chief, the leader of the free world. Does she really want to portray herself as being that stupid that she didn't know what the C meant? Okay, if the C meant that, if the C did not mean classified, that it just meant paragraph C, did she wonder at any point where was paragraph A? Where was paragraph B? Why didn't she look for those? Why didn't she ask, where's paragraph A? Where's paragraph B? So she is either woefully uninformed, and again, there was supposed to be some training going on here pertaining to the handling of classified and sensitive information that I think at this point we can probably safely assume that she blew off. Because again, it's this notion that she does not have to, include herself in things that ordinary average people might have to partake in, such as the training of handling sensitive and classified information. She's above that. She's above the law. She said no one ever raised concerns to her about the use of a private email server. We also know that that is not true. It goes on to say here in the report that as for the claim, for that claim that no one ever talked to her about any concerns about a private server, that's dangerous territory because it's probably not going to be hard to find someone at the State Department or formally at the State Department to contradict this claim. In fact, there are many statements just now released, again, in the old document dump, the old Friday afternoon before a three-day weekend document dump, just now released from this FBI interview that are likely going to be refuted, that this claim is going to be refuted in very short order. There's a few more things here that we will talk about. I'm going to take a quick break here. We have got this. We have got, conservatism lost an icon this week in Phyllis Schlafly. And we'll talk about Phyllis, and we'll talk about all the things that she did. FEC commissioner warns that Democrats are gunning for the First Amendment. I think we already know that. Plus a whole bunch more. So stay right where you are. Do not go anywhere. We are loaded for bear today, people. I will be right back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network.
This is Dinesh D'Souza, and you are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
The following message is brought to you by Health Markets, your first choice when you need health insurance for your small business. Do you offer health insurance to your employees? Call us now and see if you can save money. Do you want to offer vision and dental to your employees? Call us. Do you think you're paying too much for your current health insurance? Call us. Do you want somebody else to do all the legwork and search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide? Call us. We're Health Markets, and thanks to a little-known solution, we could help your business save thousands of dollars on health insurance costs and save your employees money, too. Our service is free. Don't miss the great savings. Call now.
800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. 800-470-8021. That's 800-470-8021.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is DBA of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc. Licensed in all states. Product availability varies.
Are you getting squeezed by the economic downturn? Hey, you were doing fine. Then, all of a sudden, you're having a tough time paying your family's credit card bills. Maybe you were downsized or even lost a job, but you still owe 10 grand or more in credit card bills, and you just can't afford the minimum payments anymore. We're here to help. We are the Genesis Debt Partners. We know the secrets to negotiate better terms with your creditors. Make a free 10-minute call right now and learn how we can help you get out of debt. 800-807-9767. If you owe 10 grand or more in credit card debt and you want to learn how you can pay less and get out of debt faster, call right now. 800-807-9767. 800-807-9767. Get out of debt now. 800-807-9767.
All right, guys, we're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975. To find out more, call toll-free 800-962-9119. That's 800-962-9119. Call 800-962-9119 today.
Is debt beating you down? You need discipline. You need the Debt Ninja. If you've been caught in a financial trap and need to be set free, then you need the Debt Ninja. Want to stop those harassing collection calls? Start saving thousands in interest and fees and get out of debt fast? Then you need to call the Debt Ninja. The Debt Ninja will find the best companies across the country that will help you consolidate all your bills into one easy payment, reduce your payments by 30 to 50%, and get you out of debt fast. If you have unsecured debt of $10,000 or more, such as credit cards, loans, or medical bills, call the Debt Ninja for a free 15-minute consultation.
Call 800-824-3301. 800-824-3301. That's 800-824-3301. Call today.
The Debt Ninja.
We are back. We are talking. What else? What have we been talking about forever? Hillary Clinton and her emails. The more stuff that comes out about it, and the more that it becomes so clear that she has lied about every aspect of this scandal, that she has lied about every single thing that she has told law enforcement, including and up to the FBI. You know, people are just wondering how is this happening? How is this woman getting away with all of this? If this were you and I, we would all be doing a perp walk. We'd all be wearing, you know, orange jumpsuits. And it's really mind-boggling. It really and truly is mind-boggling the way that it's so clear that there's a double standard here. My concern is that there's not enough people that care about it. Whether you're talking about people in government, whether you're talking about just ordinary average Americans. And I think it's one of the things that is front and center in the minds of a lot of Trump supporters, is that they're tired of this double standard. Why is this woman getting away with lying to the FBI? You and I would never get away with that. So why is it okay for her and not for the average American, not for Joe Sixpack? It boggles the mind. But I have a report here. It's from CNBC, and it's talking about the five most outrageous things that Hillary Clinton said during her FBI interview, which was dumped last Friday afternoon before the three-day Labor Day weekend so that nobody would pay attention to it. But, one of the things that they talked about in here was that she said that she never thought whether emails that she exchanged on a future U.S. drone attack would be classified. Well, this says, according to this report here by Jake Novak at CNBC, number two stretches the limits of credulity. We're supposed to believe that Clinton never even considered a discussion about a future drone attack should be kept secret, saying, "I never thought." Basically sounds like a dodge on a charge of possible premeditation. That's true. I think so. And one of the last things here that she said, told the FBI, was that she said that she could not recall any training on how to handle classified information. The this refutes that, the refutation of that is that the quote, "I could not recall" response to the question about prior training is a classic defendant's dodge. It works great because even if Clinton did get training, it can be argued that it doesn't matter because she doesn't remember it. But while it's a good legal dodge, it's potentially lethal in the midst of an election where you're trying to look like a competent and alert leader. And that's absolutely right. You know, if she is trying to convince people that well, I don't recall this and I don't recall this, but you're asking for the most important job in the free world, the leader of the free world, but you, especially when you're talking about security, national security and security briefings, but beyond that, things like how to handle classified information. If you can't remember any of those things, and I think there's going to be plenty of people that have spoken to the FBI at the very least that are going to say, well, yeah, there was this training and it is mandatory. And if Hillary Clinton, if Huma Abedin, if Cheryl Mills, if any one of her inner circle, if she or any one of her inner circle, all of them, if there was some sort of ignoring of this training and they got away with that, I think that's a whole nother notch in the double standard belt, because again, you and I and anybody else who was working at the State Department, depending on what your job is, that you would be required to take this training to complete it, but not someone like Hillary Clinton, not the Secretary of State, for the love of God. It's just, again, it boggles the mind that this double standard is not only in place, but that no one seems to care. But you know, when I heard about the whole, I don't remember, I don't recall. I don't know if anybody has ever heard. It's a great parody. It's done by a guy who does a lot of Rush Limbaugh's parodies, a guy by the name of Paul Shanklin, and he does a great job with them. And he does such a good job of making things that are just such a disaster that you have to kind of laugh at it and see the funny side of it. But I thought that maybe we would this parody goes back to the 90s with the whole Rose Law Firm records, and you know how nobody could find them until one day they just mysteriously just appeared in the White House. And when Hillary was asked about these records, you know, what anything that she was asked about them, you know, you got the old, well, I don't remember, I don't recall. And so to have a little Friday fun, here is Paul Shanklin and Hillary not recalling anything.
Welcome to the grand jury, Mrs. Clinton. How are you?
I'm sorry, I don't recall.
Oh, well, how's the book tour?
I'm sorry, I don't recall.
Well, let's get started.
Try to remember when you were a member of Rose Law Firm and worked Whitewater.
I don't remember that big money lender. I was baking cookies for my daughter.
But Mrs. Clinton, don't you remember that illegal tender and your shady friend, that McDougal fellow?
I'm sorry, I can't remember. My brain's in a blender. It's Jell-O.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Could we get on with this, please? I have to get back to my book tour.
Okay, Mrs. Clinton, try to remember. And don't blame your gender
for missing all this high corruption.
Well, excuse me, I don't remember, and don't blame my gender. I'm not just some bimbo eruption.
Well, no, I didn't mean to imply that, but come next November, your Bill the Big Spender could come to his end for this peccadillo.
Well, I don't think so, because I can't remember. My brain's in a blender. It's Jell-O.
Are you getting tired? Would you like a recess?
Sorry, I don't recall.
Who's president of the United States?
I'm not sure I can remember that.
This is very troubling.
Well, pardon me.
Only your husband can do that.
That cracks me up every time I hear it. My favorite part of that is when she says, my brain's in a blender, it's Jell-O. But that is Hillary Clinton back in the old Rose Law Firm 1990s days, where she couldn't recall anything then either, which is funny because I don't know if anybody has ever seen this meme on social media. It's a picture of Bill and Hillary Clinton, and it says something to the effect of for how do people get millions and millions of dollars in advance fees from writing books about their memoirs when they can't recall or remember anything. So, you know, that's a $64,000 question. But, you know, we'll be talking about Hillary Clinton's emails, I'm sure, for many more days to come, because, again, it's the gift that keeps on giving. But as I was saying before the break earlier, that conservatism lost an icon this week. Phyllis Schlafly passed away this week. She died on Monday. She died on Labor Day. At the age of 92. And, you know, if there was anybody who lived a fuller life, I would sure have to, you'd have to give me the name of that person, because there wasn't many things that Phyllis didn't do. She has been called a founding mother of the modern U.S. conservative movement. Of course, everybody remembers her battling the Equal Rights Amendment back in the late 70s, early 80s. I remember it. I remember seeing it on the news. I was in high school at the time, so I don't, you know, said I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. But again, she passed away at age 92 on Monday of this week. And she was a hometown girl. She was a St. Louis girl. And, you know, we really do. I'm proud to say that we really do here, not in the Midwest, but in St. Louis, we have a fantastic crop of talented conservatives here. And it makes me very proud. I hope I'm considered one of them. But Phyllis Schlafly once called feminists, quote, a bunch of bitter women seeking a constitutional cure for their personal problems. That and she had a lot of opinions that maybe not a lot of women in 2016 would agree with. She one of her quotes here was that quote, women find their greatest fulfillment at home with their family. Well, that might be, but I don't think that pertains to all of us. I don't think that it's not doable for all of us. And while there are a lot of women who would love to be at home with their children, financially they can't do that. And but even into her 90s, Phyllis was a force to be reckoned with. She was a popular speaker. She had endorsed Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. And she had been don't know if it was here in this report that I have here, but she had been a delegate to every presidential election, I think going back to like 1956 or something, just something really unbelievable. And reading here from this, her political ardor did not fade with age, and in 2014, as President Obama pushed for pay equality for women, Schlafly sparked controversy with a column for the Christian Post saying that a man's paycheck comes first. Again, don't agree with Phyllis on that. As an independent working woman myself, I don't agree with that. But, you know, God bless America. Phyllis had the right to have her opinions and voice them, and she did just that. And when she talked about the pay gap, she said, quote, the pay gap between men and women is not all bad because it helps to promote and sustain marriages, she said. The best way to improve economic prospects for women is to improve job prospects for the men in their lives, even if that means increasing the so-called pay gap. Well, for a lot of women, there is no man there. And so that paycheck is paramount. That paycheck is crucial to their way of life and to their children's way of life. And I think that maybe Phyllis really wasn't seeing the broader picture there. But again, I think there was not a lot of things that she didn't do. little of her background. Shortly after marrying lawyer Fred Schlafly in 1949, she became active in Republican Party politics in Alton, Illinois, which, for those of you who are unfamiliar, is right across over the bridge from St. Louis, and ran unsuccessfully for Congress twice. She would go on to found the Eagle Forum grassroots conservative group, write a newspaper column and newsletter, and author of some 20 books. Of course, her crowning achievement was crusading to prevent the Equal Rights Amendment from being added to the U.S. Constitution, and it made Schlafly a leader in the modern American conservative movement. This is a quote from James Dobson, who is the chairman and founder of Focus on the Family. Quote, Phyllis Schlafly courageously and single-handedly took on the issue of the Equal Rights Amendment when no one else in the country was opposing it. In so doing, she essentially launched the pro-family, pro-life movement. A biographer, Donald Critchlow, said defeating the ERA helped usher in the conservative era in American politics that boosted Ronald Reagan to the presidency. And she fought for nearly a decade against the Equal Rights Amendment and those tolerant liberal women who she would debate here and there, one of them being Betty Friedan, called Phyllis Schlafly, quote, a traitor to her sex, and once told her, I'd like to burn you at the stake. As a Wiccan, I take that a little personally. But the intention of the ERA was to ensure women were treated the same as men under state and federal laws. Schlafly's attack on the proposed amendment was based on the premise that the rights of women already were well protected by the U.S. Constitution. She said the ERA actually would erode women's standing, leading to gay marriage, women in combat, government-funded abortions, and loss of alimony. And a lot of that is happening right now. So maybe Phyllis was a bit of a Renaissance woman, and that she kind of saw what was on the horizon, kind of saw what was coming, and was trying to bet, not only trying to keep some vital American institutions in place, but to prevent a lot of the things that are happening now. She founded the Eagle Forum in 1972, and that is located here in Clayton, Missouri, which is a suburb of St. Louis. Again, for those of you who are unfamiliar, she was once described by Time magazine as, quote, feminine but forceful. She attended 41 state hearings to testify against the Equal Rights Amendment. And when the ERA's ratification deadline expired in 1982, having been approved by only 35 of 38 states needed, she threw a big fat party in Washington to tax Schlafly for promoting domestic life to her supporters. While spending so much time pursuing her ambitious political agenda, she responded by saying that she never told women that they should not work. My response to that is, you don't really have to come out and say the actual words. When you make a statement about something, when you voice an opinion about something, you can imply it. And whether or not you meant to imply it is one thing, but again, you don't really have to come out and say the actual words. But Schlafly first became a political presence with her 1964 self-published book, A Choice, Not an Echo, which championed the conservative politics of Arizona Senator Barry Goldwater. Schlafly also built a reputation as a strident anti-communist and opponent of arms control treaties. After the ERA's defeat, she continued to preach conservative causes, such as limited government, anti-abortion laws, traditional education, strong defense, and keeping out illegal immigrants. She frequently criticized immigration reform and the Obama administration. She wrote more than 25 books, including How the Republican Party Became Pro-Life in 2016 and No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom in 2012. She was a critic of gay rights, which proved to be a sensitive topic in 1992 when the oldest of her six children, John, who works for the Eagle Forum, came out as being gay. Schlafly lost her husband, Fred, in 1993. The statement here put out by the RNC and Reince Priebus is this, quote, Phyllis Schlafly was a courageous pioneer in the conservative movement, unflinching champion of many ideas Republicans have long held dear. Through her tireless activism and continued even into her 90s, Phyllis Schlafly never wavered in giving a voice to millions of Americans concerned about preserving constitutional rights, strong families, and American greatness. Her influence will continue to be felt for years to come, And as we celebrate an iconic figure in the conservative cause, our thoughts and prayers go out to her family, friends, and many admirers. That, again, is the statement from RNC Chairman Reince Priebus on the passing of Phyllis Schlafly this week at age 92. And one of the things, too, real quickly, because I want to get into some other things here, one of the things I think that a lot of people didn't know about Phyllis Schlafly was that she, in her youth, originally wanted to go to law school, and at the time, she wanted to go to Harvard Law, and at that time, Harvard Law School did not admit women. And she ended up going to law school. She ended up going to law school right here in St. Louis at Washington University, and she did it in her 50s. And she did it, and she was a fantastic student. And it's one of the things that I think just goes to show you that it's kind of an example that age is a state of mind, that it doesn't matter how old you are, that if you want to do something and you want to do it bad enough, and this was after having raised six children and being a wife and a mother and an activist, that she decided if Harvard Law wasn't going to let her in, by God, one way or another, she was going to get there and she was going to go. And at that point, it didn't have to be Harvard Law. Washington University is a very prestigious school, has a very prestigious medical school, has a very prestigious law school. And so she decided in her 50s that she was going to go to law school. And she, I have a lot of disagreements with Phyllis Schlafly, but that's one of the things I do admire about her, is that she didn't let age slow her down. And again, the conservative movement has lost a pretty big voice this week in Phyllis Schlafly. But I'm going to, moving along, let's get into a few poll numbers here. Again, this is the Real Clear Politics poll averages here. And right now, the RCP poll average nationally right now today has Hillary Clinton at 45.6%, Donald Trump at 42.9%. That is a spread of Hillary Clinton is ahead by 2.7 percentage points. That would, I would think, most definitely be in the margin of error. And there's really some tightening here of the polls. It is undisputable that in Wisconsin, Hillary Clinton 45%, Donald Trump 39%. That's a spread of 5.3. Michigan, Clinton 46%, Trump 38.7%. That's a spread of 7.3. New Hampshire, Clinton 44%, Trump 36.3%. That is a spread of 7.7. Georgia, Clinton 42.7%, Trump 44.3%. Trump is up by 1.6 again. Again, to be fair, margin of error. In Missouri, Hillary Clinton 40.7%, Donald Trump 43.7%, Trump's up by 3. Colorado, Clinton 45%, Trump 35.3%, that's 9.7 spread. Arizona, Clinton 39.8%, Trump 41.5%. Again, margin of error, but Trump is up by 1.7. excuse me, a couple other states here. North Carolina, Trump is up by 3. Let's see, we just did Colorado. New Jersey, Clinton's up by 4. In Florida, this is very crucial. Right now today, well, there are some polls that have it in as a tie, but the one I have here, yeah, this is for Quinnipiac has Florida in a dead heat. Quinnipiac also has Pennsylvania up by 5, and Trump in Ohio, again, another crucial state, up by 4. So I think there is, again, these polls, we are, as of yesterday, we are exactly 60 days out from this election, and there is a lot of polling to be done and a lot of poll numbers to be had. And, you know, it's going to be up and down. It's going to be a roller coaster till then. But I am going to take another quick break. We're going to come back, and we are going to talk about the FCC, who is warning conservatives that Democrats are ready to go after the First Amendment and after conservative media and conservative speech. So, plus, we will, of course, we are 2 days away from the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, and we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it all in just a few You are listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. You are listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. Stay right where you are.
Hey, folks. Kevin Jackson here, host of The Kevin Jackson Show. You're listening to Red Nation Rising Radio.
Conservative Cauldron Radio.
Boy, man, I had a rough night's sleep. Boy, whew, I got a letter from the IRS yesterday, and I just couldn't sleep. Man, I'm dying here. Somebody help me.
IRS problems affect more than just your finances. If you're ready to take back control of your life and you owe more than $10,000, you need to call the Tax Doctor. Their expert staff can immediately protect you from the IRS and state collectors and get you the best possible tax settlement guaranteed. The IRS has recently released new programs geared in helping struggling taxpayers, where you may qualify to settle your tax debt and wipe out up to 85% or more of what you currently owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call the Tax Doctor right now. See if you qualify to pay less. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. 800-631-9123. Again, 800-631-9123.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501. 800-926-4501.
Hi there, I'm Slammin' Sam Myers, and I would like to invite you to listen to fun, exciting oldies, The Fox. It's an internet radio station that is like nothing else you've ever heard before. Most classic hit stations have a music library of 500 or maybe 1,000 songs. The Fox Oldies has several thousand. We play songs that radio has forgotten. My favorite thing to hear is I haven't heard that song in years. You'll hear music from the 50s like Elvis Presley, and every once in a while a current song that adults enjoy like Uptown Funk. It's real heavy on the music from 1970 to 1981. Tune in to www.thefoxoldies.com. Tune in, and I promise you, you're going to hear something within an hour that you have not heard in a very, very long time. That's what the Fox Oldies specializes in. It's music that will put a smile on your face. And music that does not have to be censored. It's fun, exciting oldies. The Fox at www.thefoxoldies.com.
Attention business owners. We know that owning a business means getting things done right now. So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company. General Steel. We can design a building for your business quickly and save you thousands of dollars. That's right, thousands. You may think General Steel only builds large projects or that you can't afford General Steel quality. Well, check these prices. How about a 40 by 60 foot building for under $22,000? Or even a 50 by 100 for under $35,000? That's right, a 5,000 square foot building for under $35,000. And these buildings all have General Steel quality. Best of all, you can still order a building and have it delivered in time to build this year. How's that for right now? So if your right now list includes a new building, call the Right Now Company, General Steel.
800-398-8309, 800-398-8309, 800-398-8309. That's 800-398-8309.
We are back to wrap things up here on Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thanks for hanging out with me today. You are also listening to Red Nation Rising Radio Network. www.rednationrising.us. Check it out. It is awesome. The other thing I have here quickly is that this is from the Washington Examiner. This is from yesterday. The FEC commissioner is warns, easy for me to say, FEC commissioner warns Democrats are gunning for conservative media. Well, there's a shocker. What, you know, how did we not know that? But this report here, this is from Paul Bedard at the Washington Examiner. A key Federal Election Commission Republican warned Wednesday that liberals are moving aggressively to, quote, amend the First Amendment so that conservatives are silenced and businesses are chased out of the democracy. In some of the toughest criticism leveled at Democrats, Commissioner Lee Goodman said that the attack started once the Tea Party changed American politics in the 2010 election and now dominates the politics of the left. Quote, it has triggered a very aggressive movement by people to amend the First Amendment. Left intellectuals have placed it on the table. This was during an appearance on Boston's Howie Carr radio show by Mr. Goodman. The general tenor of the left in American politics today has certainly spoken out against First Amendment rights. It has been a reversal over the last 50 years. He cited FDR Democrats who defended socialists and communists. From trying to reverse the Citizens United decision to using the IRS to kill Tea Party groups, Goodman said that the Democrats have moved to change free speech in the country. He goes on to say, quote, I've been concerned about bias, both in how complaints are brought to the commission, just like in the way the lobbying campaign for Lois Lerner. It was all one-sided, but generally I tried to make my First Amendment case by pointing out that we have to impact liberal and conservative speech in the same way. But I have been concerned from time to time about every time a conservative group comes up, somehow, some way, exceptions and distinctions are made, and this is the problem, giving government the power to regulate speech in the first instance, because ultimately human beings have to make that decision. It's now the left attacking conservative speakers like free market speech because they are concerned that the big corporations might convince somebody they might speak out about free market economics. He added that liberals want to, quote, chase them out of the democracy. Democrats on the FEC have led the attacks, publicly calling for a reversal of Citizens United and even for regulating conservative news sites like the Drudge Report. They have also treated complaints against conservatives differently and tougher than those against Democrats or left-leaning outlets. Well, I think we all know that the ultimate goal is to not just regulate places like the Drudge Report and The Blaze, Daily Caller, things that lean conservative, but I think the ultimate goal we know is that they want to shut them down, and it's just another example of why this election is so crucial, because there's talk again, and I saw it this morning on Drudge was that. You know, they're talking about giving away control of the internet to other nations besides the United States. And if that happens, conservatives and those who truly love the First Amendment and truly love freedom of speech, you are going to have a big problem because if the control of the internet is given over to people who for whom the First Amendment is not in their blood, it's not in their DNA, they're not going to care. And they will start regulating the minute that it happens. Very quickly, before we have to call it a day here, we are, of course, everybody can look at the calendar and know that we are 2 days away from the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. And gosh, it's hard to believe it's been 15 years ago. And I think it's one of those things that people who were around when John Kennedy was assassinated, everybody knows where they were that day. For younger people, I think everybody knows where they were and what they were doing on that bright, sunny September morning. It was a nice day all over the country. It was here. And you know, I think I'm afraid that people have forgotten. I'm afraid that people have forgotten how not just how frightened we were, how uncertain things were. We for quite a while, maybe even for a span of a couple of weeks, that nobody knew what was going to happen next. And we've definitely stopped being angry, and that makes me angry. That we have stopped being angry. With the passage of time, we don't see the pictures and the images of September 11th, 2001 anymore. We see them infrequently we tend to only see them on the anniversary. And to quote a song by a country music singer, Daryl Worley, I think that they should show it every day, every damn day. But we remember those that we lost on 9/11, the people in the towers who just went to work that day, that morning. That's all they did was go to work. The heroes of Flight 93, the first responders, the police, the firemen, the Port Authority police, the men and women who scrambled fighter jets, and certainly those who in government whose first priority, who they knew whose first priority was to keep America safe. And I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of remembrances this weekend of September 11th, but you know what? I think we need to be angry again. I think we need to be very, very angry again. And remember just exactly, I'm not talking about racial profiling. I'm not saying all Muslims are terrorists. But remember who did this. Remember who did this to our nation. With that, I am out of here. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com. Working on some other stuff there, new stuff. Politichicks.com, new stuff up there. Facebook.com/Becky Noble and on Twitter at Patriot Witch, Red Nation Rising, RedNationRisingRadio.us. Check it out. Everybody have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next time.